We're here with Ant Timpson, the producer and director of Come to Daddy, which has its Australian premiere as part of the Freak Me Out strand at the Sydney Film Festival. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. I should say producer in name only. Really. But there are a lot of producers on this film, and I was very much down the list of producers. But director, I will claim strongly.
Oh, I'm glad you're behind the camera, because we've always loved having your films at the Sydney Film Festival. Come to Daddy, can you tell us what is it? What is it all about?
Ooh, spoiler alert. I sort of describe it as it's a dark comedic thriller at its core. And it's about a son who's been estranged from his dad for 30 years, and he gets a cryptic letter about, come and visit me. I live in a very isolated cabin, as they all do. And so Elijah Wood plays the son. He goes to visit his father, and then things go a little awry, as we say. And that's kind of, the film is full of what I feel really interesting sort of twists and turns, and it less is more, really, in terms of discussing it. I kind of want the audiences to experience it for themselves for the first time, and go in with as little knowledge about the proceedings as possible, because that's the only way to guarantee maximum enjoyment for this film, is to go in absolutely blind. Avoid trailers, avoid every spoiler you can find on the online, and just go and see it.
No, I'm of the same view. It's one that's hard to write a synopsis for, because, and that's some of the best films, because you go in and you have an absolute ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just find these days we're just sort of bombarded with, imagery from, distributors that are very concerned about audiences not turning up, so they've got to show nearly every single beat of the film, and there's so much money wrapped up in these things nowadays. It costs a lot of money to make films, so there's a desperation and a fear for, like, we need to tell the audiences, like, how cool our thing is, and they just overload and they overcook it. And I come from a background of very early being drawn to gorgeous trailers that were kind of even just sort of very simple works of art themselves that didn't give away the entire film. They were kind of just like staccato, musically beautiful pieces of cinema. And I would love for us to go back to that a little bit and steer clear of just sort of overabundance of information.
I would too. But one thing I think viewers, even if they haven't seen the film, will know about it is that it has a pretty prominent actor who has featured in a couple of very big New Zealand films to this point. And it's great to see him front and centre.
Yeah, so Elijah Wood is the person who starred in a little film called Lord of the Rings from New Zealand. And then I've known Elijah through the traps over the years. We sort of bonded at various festivals, especially in Austin, because Austin was like my second home for a long time. And he's got a place in Austin, and we used to hang out during a festival called Fantastic Fest there. And we just had a very similar taste in films and things. We used to discuss making stuff, which would never happen. But then eventually I sort of got into the position that I was a few years back, where I had an idea for a script, and got a script that I was really happy with and sent it to him, and luckily he just totally connected with it and said, I'm in, let's do it, let's get it made. And then it was all on from there.
Now, we're not going to talk too many details about the plot of this film, but one thing I've found fascinating about horror films and recent horror films, that they've had to contend with new storytelling techniques, new technology, one of which being the advent of mobile phones. Now, being out in a cabin of the woods situation, you should address this, and you have a quite creative way of addressing this in the movie, as you do. It's a very modern and up-to-date horror film in so many...
Well, we all hate cell phones in movies now. I mean, they'd virtually make every plot of previous cinema kind of redundant with their constant use. So we were very concerned about that, and I was talking to the writer and I said, let's just make fun of mobile phones in these contemporary thrillers and things. And so we did something in the film that I won't spoil now, but people will pick it up pretty easily, and we did a nice little sort of Kiwi twist to it as well, and I just sort of like, let's just get it out of the narrative completely, so we don't never have to worry about it being a burden on the plot from that point on. So yeah, we sort of nixed the idea of mobile phones pretty quickly.
I'm really glad you did. It made it a much great thriller. And it's not just the thriller. There's many elements to it. It's a bit of a shocker. It's a horror. It's got haunted house elements. So there's a real genre fusion you've gone for in Come to Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it was based on something that happened to me. So it was kind of like all the sort of emotional stuff that I went through, which is a crazy story. So what happened is my dad died in front of me. And then his partner at the time thought it would be really good for the grieving processes for the body to come back embalmed and spend some time with us, the kids, in the house, his house. But everyone was kind of busy, and I ended up being the person who spent the time in the house with his corpse for 5 days alone. So it was really surreal, very cathartic, but kind of like freaky. And being a kid raised on horror movies, there was lots of going down late at night and looking at the dead body. And having these imaginary conversations in my head that I thought you had to do that because I've seen it in films before where you tell your dad all these things that you never did when he was alive. And so it was very sort of a very strange and kind of heavy emotional experience. But then from that, during the daytime, there were like people who turned up to pay respects to my father, and then they had all these stories of him that I'd never heard. And I started thinking, like, wow, imagine if, you know, he was someone I didn't even know, and he had this complete, and so my brain went to these crazy places, as you do. And so that's where the sort of genesis of this script came out of, like, let's just take that about unfinished business. Fathers and sons always have unfinished business. What if that unfinished business came looking for us? And that was the kind of the whole sort of premise for me approaching the writer and saying, let's do this crazy thing. I've got a really good skeleton structure. And it was the writer from the co-writer of a film I had previously produced called The Greasy Strangler. And so we had a lot of fun with it, really. And then, so, yeah, I don't even know what the original question was because I just totally unloaded on you. But, yeah, that was pretty much the genesis.
No, thank you for sharing. And the section was what you refer to was my favorite in the film. And I did love the through line of relationship between fathers and sons running through it. And it also led to me the most shocking and scariest moment in the film, which usually you have moments where it's night and you wait for the lights to go out. But this one, we'd had a sequence at night and it was suddenly daytime. And it was a very subtle scare. And suddenly a character wakes up and wow, boom. And I'm really impressed that you had that moment with not just let's have situate a scare in the dark, but let's invert it and situate one in the daytime.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, there's a lot that came to life in the editing process. I mean, there was, you know, I look back, there's whole sequences that are now lost that were kind of like there was sort of three structures, three parts to this film that were very different types of films. And so we had a lot of fun with the chicanes that happen in the narrative where we really changed gears and stepped it up and then slowed it down. And so for me, it was always about, you know, it's a cliche, but I wanted it to be like a roller coaster effect for the audience to sort of, but instead of being one that you go up and down, it was like one that took a long time to get to the top. And then it sort of really takes off and then derails somewhere along its pathway. So and then once you're off the rails, you just don't know what the hell's going to happen.
And it was so much for that reason. And a broader question, many of your films have premiered at the Sydney Film Festival. I was at the APCs of Death a couple of years ago. One of my favourite Sydney Film Festival screenings of all time was the Dendy Newtown screening of Deathgasm a few years ago, which was an awesome honour. The whole cast and crew were there. And this is playing as part of the Freak Me Out strand. I'm curious as to your view on the Sydney Film Festival and its promotion of genre and horror films, because certainly your films, which do fit squarely into that category, you bring to this forum and this community.
Well, there's a vibrant genre scene in a lot of these big cities, and I know that for a fact because my friends used to program crazy films here in Sydney back in the days when there was a theatre called The Mandolin, and there was one called The Encore, and so I was living here in Sydney and going to all these sort of screenings, and they used to promote wild and crazy exploitation films. So it's got a long, proud history of that sort of exhibition here in Sydney, but and strangely enough, one of the guys I met back in those days is now the programmer of the Strand in the Sydney Film Festival, Richard Kuypers. So I knew him from the old days, and now he's not to say that he's nepotistic or anything. I think because he hasn't played all my films, but he's very much a guy who was on the same wavelength. We were both into the same sort of cinema, and it's really interesting to see the breadth of what he's actually sort of encompassed in his strand, because I do a similar strand back in New Zealand. I'm also a festival programmer for the New Zealand Film Festival. So we swap notes and stuff now and then, and same with Melbourne. And there's like a sharing sort of community around the world of people who program this sort of fair. And we're always looking for stuff together, but we also try to outdo each other and as well, and trying to find, curate something that's personal, but also we know that there's a willing audience for it out there as well.
Now, it is premiering at the Sydney Film Festival. There are horror and genre fans all over Sydney maybe listening to them, or others who just may be curious and picking up something that they might not have seen or that they wouldn't normally go for. What do you say to the prospective viewers or soon-to-be viewers of Come to Daddy?
I mean, all I can say is, like, my whole life is genre films. So, and I hate that word. I hate it because it's so overused. It means it's kind of meaningless the more you say it. But I've ever since, you know, bombing out of university, where I did my first film festivals, you know, doing VHS film festivals back in the day, I've just lived and breathed this type of cinema. So for me to switch gears and become a director, all I can offer the audience out there, the listening fans of this sort of cinema, is that I've seen everything out there, and so as a fan making a film, I wanted to make something that I knew would resonate with people who are kind of savvy and maybe a little bit discerning in terms of what they've seen a lot. So you got to, it's hard to surprise these guys, you know, because they've seen everything. So I just know that it's entertaining at its heart. It's got an emotional resonance that works because it comes from a very personal place, the death of my dad. So for my dead dad, come on, they should come alone just for that. But honestly, I think it's a really good film. And I, you know, all I do is usually look for flaws in everything that I work on. But I'm really happy with this. I think it's come out really great, and I know they'll have a great time.